From Montreal, Canada, it's the Travel World Radio Show.
All aboard!
Travel World. Liberty Work Radio Network.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number. Ooh!
Welcome back to Travel World with Willem Backus and Stephen Pickford in West Palm Beach, Florida. I got Art Moskovic in studio. We got a great show lined up for you today. We happen to have Judith Ritter from CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, who's gone to Jerusalem. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. We got our own Sharon Delaney, who's in New York, talking about the St. Paddy's Day parades and whatnot. And we also have Bram Eisenthal talking about Las Vegas. Right now, Stephen Pickford's flown down to West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yes, good morning, Willem.
In Jupiter, how you doing, Steve?
Oh, doing fine. It's a nice day here. It's kind of overcast, chance of showers in the area, but I think we'll get another preseason game in today, the Cardinals versus the Expos at Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, North Palm Beach County. The state-of-the-art spring training facility shared by both teams today is considered an Expos home game. This is the third season that the Expos have played at Roger Dean after moving north from the old Municipal Stadium, which many fans will remember the Braves and the Expos sharing for many years. And it's been torn down, actually, like a few other landmarks in the Palm Beach area. It's
like
going
the
to be
orphanage where we met Valerie.
Yes, and where she used to work or where she used to live is now all boarded up right across from the Palm Beach Airport Hilton Inn, where I'm staying for the second
and
year.
She moved, Valerie also moved to a condo in Detroit not too long ago, but of course we don't know whether she's still there.
No, I think maybe found a job with Northwest Airlines. I would not know.
Probably.
Northwest passing through Detroit. They did a good job, actually, because the flight was a bit late coming in on the way down on Thursday.
She did enjoy flight, but we wondered whether she would have flown cargo if she would have gotten the opportunity.
Probably.
Anyway.
Cargo sales agent at the telemarketing center. But they did a good job of turning that flight around because it came in late from Detroit. Thursday morning there were snow flurries, so in the Detroit area, so all the planes that had overnight, it had to be de-iced, so that delayed the departures. And 17 minutes, the turnaround time from the time the plane arrived in from Detroit into Montreal, got everyone off, everybody back on board, and me made the connection arriving back.
That was another DC-9?
Yeah.
DC-9,
Northwest is the world's largest fleet of DC-9s.
That was one hell of a fast turnaround, getting everybody off. All right, everybody off, move it, boom.
Oh, boy, but I'm a bit worried that, of course, we arrive at gate C-20 and have to get to gate F-1 for in 23 minutes, but...
Don't you just love that?
How much weight did you lose, Steve?
Oh, I... More than a couple of pounds. More than
all
a couple of pounds.
All between the
ears. Sweating.
All between.
All between the ears, Steve. That's all.
Yeah,
there you go.
A lot of excess fat, but not sometimes in the right places.
So, Steve, did you visit that choice area of West Palm Beach this year like we did last year?
Well, the walked around yesterday around Worth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked around Worth Avenue, walked around Royal Point Siena Way, and been already to the Palm Beach Gardens, the mall, the Gardens Shopping Mall, where you bought some CDs last year.
That's correct. And we were listening to Loverboy and all those other great artists in our car from Prestige of Palm Beach, which, of course, has moved on.
Yes, they've moved on to greener pastures. I think the partners split up, and they're doing other things in this area. So there are still companies in the Palm Beach area that will rent you a luxury or a distinctive automobile, because there is that market. It, walking around Worth Avenue, you see so many BMWs and Jaguars and Lincolns and chauffeur limousines. It is the area for to be seen and to flaunt some of your wealth. Although there are some people out there who probably are wealthy, but they like to dress down and could be mistaken for some of the citizens of the smallest towns of America. Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes hard to tell who is who is famous and who is wealthy when you walk around Palm Beach County, but people are enjoying themselves. It's 82 degrees and humid yesterday. I saw whatever weight I did not lose running from end to end of the Detroit terminal, I certainly was able to probably shed a few more pounds.
Oh, yes.
Just from the humidity.
Not unlike the time that you lost, what, 180 pounds overnight? You got a divorce?
And, how you can lose 50 pounds in 30 minutes and by spending it quickly in London, England.
In London, England, yes, yes. We heard that one, too.
Yeah, that's an old-time
Patrick's
joke.
Day jokes.
Hi.
You betcha. So any did you go to any museums or anything interesting yesterday?
The Norton Museum of Art downtown. Mm-hmm. We'll be discussing that next week. And tomorrow is the International Museum of Cartoon Art down in Boca Raton, which was founded by Mort Walker, the cartoonist.
Okay. All right.
Such,
okay,
such cartoons as Beetle Bailey and High and Low.
Okay.
And he lives down in Boca Raton now, and this is in the Meisner Park development, and the International Museum of Cartoon Art, which we'll be discovering tomorrow and have a full report for you next week.
For our listeners in St. Louis, Steve, tell us how the Cardinals are doing.
Well, the Cardinals, we're going to be seeing them this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Andy Venice for the Cardinals against Jeremy Powell for the Expos. The Expos actually won yesterday, kept their streak alive when Vic Phillips is in attendance, so I think they should hire him. He's not seen the Expos ever lose, which keeps his winning streak alive. Expos won 4-1 yesterday. So.
All right.
So it... The Expos also have more countries represented on their roster than any other team in baseball this year. There are 8 countries and 1 territory represented on the roster. So,
well, I guess a little reflection like Montreal, just because Montreal is just that kind of a mosaic. They say New York City is what they call a melting pot, where everybody tends to melt into the same with a little flavor of their past, but Montreal tends to be a mosaic. People tend to retain a much stronger influence of their past, their ethnic background, and that's what makes Montreal such a great city.
And one idea that they had this year, and this was Jeffrey Laurie, who suggested the new Expos managing partner, he has the flags of all those countries represented outside the clubhouse.
Oh, that's really neat.
So it's not just the American and Canadian flags flying, it is the flags of all the countries, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Japan, Australia, Colombia, Panama, for the players represented on the team. So it bonds them closer to the team and makes them play like one. And I think this is going to be a good year for the Expos.
Did you get a chance to see that new first baseman in action?
He just arrived in camp yesterday from the Texas Rangers. And we were talking to a scout from the Texas Rangers. So he should work out. Lee Stevens at first base, and he'll be wearing number 20. And so he should be in the starting lineup, maybe even today against the Cardinals. So we'll be watching for him. So.
Well, that sounds like a terrific thing there, Steve. So any parting words just before we take the break, Steve?
Well, we're also going to be talking next week about the Chesterfield Hotel and their dinner and dance club downtown, just off Worth Avenue. Dining tomorrow night at the only AAA Four Diamond restaurant in the state of Florida, and the Palm Beach Four Seasons Resort. And we'll be talking next week as well to Denny Heron, sales director here at the Palm Beach Airport Hilton, both about his hotel and about his career in the NHL with the Canadiens and the Penguins. So full show on Palm Beach County next Saturday to look forward to.
Take care, Steve, and we got to cut to the break.
Bring
Have
me
a
some
great
sand.
Week, everyone.
Bring me some sand, Steve.
Across America via satellite.
You guys are insane.
Be more rested, right?
05. That's 800-311-2005. Call now.
Don't hate me, it's a party night. Everybody have fun tonight.
Everybody die drunk tonight.
Everybody wank drunk tonight.
Everybody wank drunk tonight.
Okay, I'm awake.
Welcome back to Travel World with Willem Backus and Art Moskovic in studio, and it's another gorgeous day after St. Paddy's Day, but of course everybody's doing their celebrations next on Sunday, and especially in Montreal we got the great St. Patrick's Day parade, and of course St. Patrick's Day would not be complete if it weren't for Art's birthday, but of course without Sharon Delaney online from the Emerald Isle herself. Sharon, welcome to Travel World.
Thanks very much. How are you doing, Willem?
I'm doing fantastic.
Happy
I don't know
St.
if you
Patrick's
know.
Day.
Thank you very much. I don't know if you know, but last week, I don't know if you were, was Sharon on last week?
Yeah, she was on last week.
Oh, there you go. Well, I was in Ottawa.
Oh, that's right.
I was at the Arthur.
Our solo gold dancer, Will.
I won five gold medals dancing at the competition.
Congratulations.
So. Thank you very much, Lee. So I'm the solid gold dancer. And if someone comes up with that sound effect.
Old Twinkle Toes Flintstones, what I call them.
Well, yeah, something like that. Yabba dabba doo. Or, yep. Or as it was better said by Al Pacino,
yabba dabba doo.
The boy's alive.
There you go.
So, Sharon, tell us a bit about your trip to New York. You're checking out the St. Paddy's Day parade tomorrow?
The parade was yesterday, actually.
It was yesterday in New York.
Yeah, they do, here in New York City, they do the St. Patrick's Day parade on St. Patrick's Day.
Fantastic.
And, of course, we flew in to snow. It snowed here in New York throughout much of the St. Patrick's Day parade. Our flight was a bit delayed getting in because of the snow.
Okay.
But as many Irish people say, it was more like an Irish springtime.
Oh, my. Without the soap.
It did not stop the crowds. They estimate anywhere between, and the official estimates aren't out yet, but the parade officials say that there are probably upwards of 2 million people lining the streets. However, the police reports, their official estimate isn't out yet, but about 500,000. As I said, the snow and the freezing temperatures did not stop the crowds. They were lining the streets, of course, loads and loads of bagpipe bands and drum corps from all over the Tri-City area, and then also something that was very unique in this year's parade was the politicians. Mayor Giuliani, of course, walking in the parade, and Hillary Clinton. And there were a lot of jokes being thrown around because Giuliani was interviewed saying, I hope that Hillary doesn't get lost on some of the side streets.
Yeah.
So they attended Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral, which, of course, is on Fifth Avenue where the parade route passes by. And so there was a lot of revelry and, of course, special attention on the parade yesterday because of the big Senate race here in New York coming up in November. And a lot of supporters for Giuliani and, of course, some supporters as well for Hillary Rodham Clinton. So that made it a bit more interesting than your typical Irish fair. And after we enjoyed the parade, we ended up at O'Neill's Irish Bar and Restaurant. Terrific
place. Ah, yes. Yes, I heard about that place. Tell me a bit about it, what you ate, and
It's a marvelous place. It's on 3rd Avenue in the middle of New York Street, in between 45th and 46th Streets. And the owner of O'Neill's is from Ireland, of course. His name is Kieran Staunton, and he opened up O'Neill's 3 years ago. It used to be an old Italian restaurant, and you should see the transformation it has taken. A beautiful restaurant, two-story restaurant right on 3rd Avenue.
Expensive.
He has decorated the restaurant with all sorts of Irish decor that he flew over from Ireland. So everything is very original inside the restaurant and in the pub area. And they have your typical Irish fare with, of course, yesterday only. They do not typically have corned beef and cabbage. And let's talk about that a bit. That is an Irish-American dish. That is not an Irish dish.
What would be a typically Irish dish then, Sharon?
A typical Irish dish would be an Irish stew or fish and chips, of course.
Yeah.
They had Tipperary traditional chicken pot pie. They also have a variety of things on the menu if you're not into bangers and mash. Their house special is pan-roasted Gaelic steak in an Irish whiskey sauce served with whipped potatoes and onion rings. So,
That sounds delicious. I just had McDonald's. My stomach is turning.
It was terrific. My husband had the Irish stew. It was delicious. It was perfect for such a snowy, cold day. And I had the bangers and mash, which is bangers are the sausages, the famous Irish sausages. And, of course, they lots of Guinness and harp and all kinds of other things flowing from the taps in the bar, and it was a very lively crowd. Poor Kieran, the owner and manager of O'Neill's, he had been there since 7 o'clock yesterday morning. There were lines of people lined up at his restaurant at 7 a.m., and they were going straight and through after midnight last night, so they had a marathon day. at O'Neill's, but a terrific place. They attract a lot of Irish, actually. It's got, of course, a great local following here in its 3 years in New York City, but a lot of Irish and English that come over for their holidays here to the United States. Through word of mouth and through advertising, they've heard about O'Neill's, where they can get a bit of home. So,
that sounds... What's the decor like inside? Sort of a rich, dark wood kind of decor?
Actually, the downstairs has more of the woodwork, a lot of woodwork in the bar. Of course, it was so crowded, it was hard to pick up a lot of the details downstairs. But upstairs,
right,
where they have the table settings for eating, actually, they had beautiful sideboards that he had flown over from Ireland, antique sideboards with... all kinds of china, not necessarily fine china, but various tableware that he had decorating throughout the walls. He also had a lot of original art and photographs that were signed by the photographers and the artists that he had decorating the walls. Your typical Irish, what you might expect, with beautiful green pastures and thatched roof cottages and maybe the Cliffs of Moher. There was a lot of paintings and photographs with Irish scenery. And like I said, they had beautiful sideboards, and the actual bar back was beautifully decorated as well.
Are they reasonably priced?
They are reasonably priced. We had the fish and chips and the bangers and mash. You could get bangers and mash was for $9. Irish stew was for about $9. The house special, which I mentioned, the pan-roasted Gaelic steak, was at $17.95, but it certainly fills you up. They also had some wonderful desserts, Bailey's Irish Cream Cheesecake.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, delicious. And also they had apple pie with real whipped cream. And as I said, if Irish fare is not your favorite, they have all kinds of other things, tuna melts and shrimp, and they also had fettuccine primavera. So they're full menu.
Don't say feta cheese and tomatoes. Don't say feta cheese and tomatoes.
No, they had no feta cheese and tomatoes. That would be down at the Greek place.
Oh, when Steve hears the tape, he's going to die laughing, of course. It's characteristic of one of our characters here on Travel World. But, you had a fantastic time there. Does it cast your mind to some of your favorite times? Because I remember a couple of years back for the show you went to Ireland.
Yes, it does. It certainly reminded me of home, because a lot of the staff at O'Neill's they're from Ireland, of course, so their accents being original and true form.
Oh,
so that was lovely to hear, the actual wait staff.
Can you put on an Irish accent?
I can put on a bit of one. I actually get one naturally when I speak to my mother.
When you speak to your mother?
Yeah.
But why didn't you put one on for us? Of course, in honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. I'd like to also tell you about the Amerytania Hotel, where we are being hosted this weekend.
Not unlike the Lusitania, but of course this one didn't sink.
Pardon me?
Amerytania, sounds like the Lusitania.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's actually a newly renovated hotel by the Amsterdam Hospitality Group, and it's right in the middle of everything. The Amerytania Hotel is on 54th Street, right in the middle of Midtown Manhattan, in the middle of the entertainment and business district. You're at the corner of Broadway and 54th Street, so you're just a short walk to the Broadway theaters.
Do it in an Irish accent. We want to hear you.
I'll give it a try. Willem, it was terrific when we first pulled up yesterday. There, over the marquee on the other side of the Amerytania is the Late Show with David Letterman. The hotel is actually built on top of the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Oh my goodness!
So you have Ed, you have David Letterman literally underneath you, and the hotel is on top of it. So it's a great location. As I said, it's in the middle of everything. And
David Letterman now can say that he had Sharon and Helene on top of him somewhere.
I suppose
he is beneath you. He is beneath you.
And but the Amerytania is a very unique place. They just renovated, as I said, and they have a lot of eclectic artwork and furnishings. It's something that looks a bit like it's right out of the 60s, but with a modern twist. All of the furnishings is very unique. They have a brand new 60s bar that they just opened up downstairs. And then, as I said, the rooms, we're in a very spacious room, New York standards. Typically, if you're staying in a New York hotel, unless you're spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars a night, the room is very small. But we're in a very spacious room. It has actually two rooms, so it's a suite, and there's beautiful
Sharon,
French doors.
We got a break coming up. We got to let you go.
Okay.
It was nice having you on.
Thanks.
Any parting
much.
Shots? You got 5 seconds.
5 seconds? Well, next time you're coming to New York, wait till St. Patrick's Day. It's a terrific weekend.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us here on Travel World, Sharon.
Thank you, Willem.
Thank you very much. And following the break, we'll hook up with Bram Eisenthal telling us about his trip to Las Vegas. Stay tuned to Travel World on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Across America via satellite.
Comes in the banshee.
The hell is a banshee?
This is Liberty Works Network News, and I'm Mark Allen. In a major overture to Iran, the U.S.
The devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside. Devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.
Makes me wonder, and the devil inside us. Of course, that's Willem Backus and Art Moskovic here with Travel World. Stephen Pickford is in West Palm Beach, Florida, actually Jupiter, Florida, where the Montreal Expos have their spring training camp going on, and he's enjoying his time down in Florida as he spoke to us a little bit earlier. And we'd just like to take a little time out to mention also that there's a birthday in addition to St. Patrick's Day and all the lovely festivities. We've got Art Moskovic here.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. My birthday was yesterday. My buddy Raju down at the office in Montreal. It's his birthday today. Hello to everyone out there. Enjoy the show. We're having a good time.
Yeah, so you got the whole crowd listening to Liberty Works.
Whole crowd listening to Liberty Works. Montreal has their ears tuned to Liberty Works.
Well, definitely, and with all the city that we go into, we ought to have a little bit of coverage of Montreal as well.
Sure.
So when was the last place that you traveled there, Art?
Montreal?
Well, no.
Lacachette.
Lacachette, yeah. That would be the last place that you went last night. Oh, my. Now we know why Art is so tired from last night. This guy passes me on the highway yesterday, you know. Oh, yeah.
A little quick.
With a carload of various assorted women that he had met at that bar. So that's Art for you. So we're waiting for Bram Eisenthal to come on the line to talk a little bit about his trip down to Las Vegas a couple weeks ago. Bram did this to us last week, of course. I think we should just boot his ass right off the air.
You ever been to Vegas, Will?
I have not been to Vegas. I've been to Reno, and I've been to San Francisco, and I've been to L.A., but have you been to Vegas?
No, I've been to Atlantic City. I'm afraid to go to Vegas.
Well, didn't your friend Tony go to Vegas, and that's where he met Tasha?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, at the award shows.
Any of those who are actually fans of the Blind Date television show, actually it's kind of a funny show where they set up two strangers and let you come along the date. And there was this one date with a woman named Tasha, and I'm watching this with Art, and Art says, I know her. That's Tony's girlfriend.
Hey, that looks like my buddy's woman.
Yeah, and it was.
Hey, that sounds like my buddy's woman.
It was.
Orange County, my God, that's my buddy's woman.
Yeah, woman. Yeah, he grabs her by the
hair. Hey, Tash, if you're listening right now, she's in Los Angeles, California. If you guys are tuned in, love you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Hurry back home.
Yeah, so
and
that,
the bird's fed, Tony.
The bird's fed.
The bird is fed.
Yeah, you fed his bird?
I fed his bird.
I thought you were headed down to his place with a truckload of women yesterday.
We didn't make it that far.
So you're talking about a four-person hot tub. The Amerikania Hotel down in New York City, where Sharon Delaney is staying, is a rather large property. The average room size is pretty big. It's 250 square feet. It's pretty generous inside Manhattan. The average rate for the standard room is around $140 overnight. Now, that's a special rate based on availability. A suite's going to run you around $200 to $275 when you go there, and that's between January and August, which is pretty well prime time for New York City. But the guest rooms, well, they have 207 rooms. They have the 39 king-bedded rooms and 13 deluxe suites. Imported linens, I don't know really what that makes a difference, you know, what kind of sheets you're going to be sleeping on one way or the other. The telephones feature voicemail and data port. Now, when I went to the Alberta Bay Suites in Ottawa last week for the Arthur Murray Dance Competition, well, the dance competition was at the Chateau Laurier, a CP hotel.
Hey, guys, sorry to butt in.
Yeah, Bram,
how are you, man? How you doing?
Good morning, Bram.
So, sorry, you want to keep talking? I butt in here. I'll come back in a second. I mean, I'm here.
I'm going to finish my story.
Okay, finish
your
story.
And then I'll get to you. They talk about this internet access. When I was at the Alberta Bay Suites, one of the things that really was interesting there is they had an internet access port, but a high-speed one. If you have a network card inside your computer, mm-hmm. you plug their wire right in your network card, and you've got high-speed internet access.
Really?
Yes. And that blew me away. I mean, that's one hell of a hotel. If you ever come to Ottawa, stay at the Alberta Bay. And in New York City, of course, the Amaritania. Just hope it doesn't collide with the Stockholm. No, that was the Andrea Doria now, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Lusitania got torpedoed. Be that as it may, we do have, finally, Bram Eisenthal on the line.
How are you? It seems like, I guess you're not paying me enough, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
But, no, it must be because you're not the loser, Bram, with the H.
What do you mean?
There you go.
Where did you hear that?
You said that. Because, Bram, your name is spelled without the H.
I know, but I say that all the time, but when did I say that to you?
Well, every time we met.
Have I?
Yes, of course. It's one of your calling cards.
It's one of my calling cards, okay.
It's a defining characteristic.
Well, I was almost a loser with an H here, so here we go, and let's talk about Grand Canyon a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Have you guys ever been?
I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but they say you ought to go at least once in your lifetime.
It's, you know, what you do is, it's very simple. You go from Las Vegas, and it's really, if you've got good tailwinds, the turbulence we had got us there in about 20 minutes. I think normally about a 45-minute jaunt over, but Scenic Airlines is unbelievable. In North Las Vegas, they have their own hangar, and they've got these little twin turboprop planes that seat about 19 people. And, you know, in 20 minutes, you're there, and you're in one of the most scenically beautiful places in the world. It's unbelievable. You've got a choice between the West Rim and the South Rim. Unfortunately, the South Rim is supposed to be nicer. The day we were there, you couldn't land in the South Rim because this was like 3 weeks to a month ago. There was too much ice on the runway. And so we had to go to the other rim, but it's still beautiful, just not as scenic. So if you have a choice, try to take the south one. But the west one, they land you there. You have an option of taking a helicopter ride 4,000 feet to the bottom, which my friend and I did, and it was unbelievable. I mean, I'm a guy who's very, really terrified of heights. And it was so peaceful and beautiful. It's there's nothing scary about it.
Fear to you.
No fear. I'm like Daredevil, the man without fear, in a helicopter. It was my first time, so it was such a big shot, right? I thought I was going to die, but it was wonderful.
Oh, and bigger shot.
What?
Bigger shot. Get on helicopter. Go on.
That's right. And they take you to the bottom, and you have a glass of champagne. They keep you there about 20 minutes to half an hour, then you go back up again. And this is an upgrade that's available as well, I think, for like $85 more as part of their regular trip. But I really recommend it. I mean, I've been to Las Vegas 5 times, and this was the first time I'd ever done the Grand Canyon tour. You can also take the Hoover Dam tour on the way, and which
really
not as far, not as part of Scenic Airlines, just as a bus jaunt over from Las Vegas. But I really recommend it to anybody who's never been there. And once you're in Las Vegas, you might as well go. It's really not far. They really take care of you. They've got veteran pilots, and they've got several of these beautiful state-of-the-art airplanes.
And what kind of plane was it?
It's, I think, the one we had. I know they're dual turboprops, but I think de Havilland makes them.
A Dash? Was it a Dash, an Otter, a Beaver?
It wasn't a Dash. I know what a Dash is, and I've been on them before. This was...
smaller plane than that?
I'm just trying to see if they have
maybe anything. A twin Otter?
It could have been an Otter. Maybe it was an Otter, actually. They're really tiny. Like, they're not big. You have to crouch to walk through the you have to crouch to walk through it?
Probably a twin Otter.
Twin Otter? Okay.
Well, probably.
Yeah. Maybe.
Whatever. You had a good time. Was it a high wing on that thing? High wing or a low wing?
The main wing. High wing.
Yeah, that's the Havilland, all right. They usually make the high wing airplanes. So listen, so tell us a bit more about the Grand Canyon. What does it look like when you're coming up on it? How big is this thing from the air?
Oh, God, it's just, you know, the thing is when you're crossing over Nevada and heading toward Arizona, you're crossing over so many mountain ranges like that. So it's from the air, it's kind of hard to tell that you're on something that's, or over something that's that spectacular. I mean, you see the Colorado River, of course, when you get there, winding its way through. But sure. It's really only when you're standing there on the rim looking down or, you know, taking this helicopter thing, which is almost like and fly you back again. I wouldn't recommend that at all. You have to be down there to appreciate it.
Must have been fun, that helicopter ride.
The colors, if you're there on a sunny day when you've got the blue sky against the reddish brown, mountains or formations, it's spectacular. It's really, you understand, I guess, that there is a God. You know, if you're an atheist, you're going to come back believing. It's
kind of puts things. Kind of puts things in perspective a little bit. Brown, we got 30 seconds more left, and I'd like to keep you on throughout the break in case we have similar trouble with Judith Ritter. But if she calls in, then we'll wrap up a bit of Las Vegas, and then we'll get to Judith right away because she's got Jerusalem she went to.
Oh, wow, great.
Any parting words just before the break? Got 30 seconds.
Yeah, Las Vegas. If you've never been, go. Paris, Las Vegas. I stayed there. Magnificent. You're walking through the streets of Paris. You got to go to Las Vegas at least once in your lifetime. Even if you're not a gambler, there's plenty to do. But I really recommend doing the Grand Canyon thing at the same time. And good luck.
Fantastic, Bram. Well, take care, and we'll see you right after the break.
Sounds good.
Every time you call my name,
Liberty Works Radio.
If you gave away 80 cents today, would it make a difference? It would if you gave it to a child in Latin America or Africa, where 80 cents a day can mean life itself for an innocent girl or boy. Isn't that reason enough to become a Christian Children's Fund sponsor? Call 1-800-718-
flies through the air with the greatest of ease. He is the man who missed the trapeze. Willem Backus and Art Moskovic. The Nutcase is in studio here.
Good morning.
And we had our little brief visit from Bram, so I think we got to score points on that one or something. But we do happen to have a special guest online. As promised, Judith Ritter, who has been to Jerusalem and had a fantastic time out there. Judith, welcome to Travel World.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be back again. And you're right, fantastic, fantastic in the original sense of the word, really, because when you approach Jerusalem, when you come on that little minibus from the Tel Aviv airport and you're up in the hills, the winding roads, and all of a sudden you see the old city, it is fantasy, it's fantastic. You know, this is a place of 3,000-year history, and you see the ancient walls that surrounded the city, and inside, you know, there are winding alleys and bazaars and stone streets, a labyrinth, a maze. And when you're looking at that as you approach it, it's layers and layers of history. You have the architecture of the Romans, the Turkish Empire, the Byzantine, everything that you were supposed to have studied in high school and junior high school.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny, I was talking to my cousin last week, and he was actually mentioning how interesting the time of the Byzantine Empire was, the Holy Roman Empire and all that, which brings to mind some of the religious sites that you went to. You saw
Right. Of course, everybody's religious sites are there. The first thing you see, really, if you go in the Jaffa Gate, you see the what's called the Tower of David. It's a monolithic stone block of a tower about 12 stories high. And Herod the Great, in around the first century A.D., began this. It was part of what was a huge palace for Herod, who was a megalomaniac. And you can still see that part of the palace, and you can see a moat. And then, of course, there were additions as each conqueror came. That Tower of David was changed and changed and changed. And it's a good place to start your trip because inside there's a wonderful, very high-tech museum that gives you a quick history of the old city. And you're right, the holy places. The most notable Christian place, of course, is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which a friend of mine had said recently was so stunning. She said it was a combination of a weird antique store and the holiest Christian place on earth. Because each room is filled with artifacts, furniture, paintings, icons. It's a huge church, and of course, it claims to be on the site of the crucifixion and the resurrection. And it really is inspirational for Christians who visit. Historic interest is profound. It was built around 300 AD, and then again, like everything in Old Jerusalem, additions and subtractions over the next 1500 years. And you walk in, and it's dark and damp and lit with candles and many crevices. And, of course, it's holy for all kinds of Christians, but historically, you can even go into a room with a burial cave where the ancient Jews buried their families. You light a candle and actually walk through the warrens of passages. And the Muslim holy place, of course, is there, too, Dome of the Rock. And you look out over the city and you can see that golden dome kind of dominating the city. But the most interesting sight for me is there's a new tour called the Tunnel Tour.
And you Tunnel Tour?
Yes, they have excavated under, right along the western wall, they have excavated in search of other cities below this city. And you can walk in this passageway deeper and deeper into an earlier city where you see the stone walls. And the stone walls were made of, one stone is 44 feet long, 628 tons. And you, underground, you see these columns still intact that were once part of this ancient city. So that's a brand new tour, and that's very, very interesting. But you can't stay underground with the history forever. And Jerusalem is actually a pretty hip place for eating.
Pretty hip, huh?
Yeah, for eating and cafes.
One thing, Judith, that was interesting, because you were mentioning about the restaurants and stuff, one of the nice things about all these older cities is you start getting an idea of how the people were. I like archaeological tours as well, or tours of significance. Mm-hmm. Also, my cousin was mentioning a little study. In the Roman times, when you had to eat, the main thing people did was take out food. Because, of course, they had these like layers of apartments. In those cases, what were you going to cook with? You can't build a fire in your apartment, so...
Well, that's interesting, Willem, that you say that, because takeout is kind of the rage. People pick up shish ta'uk from the Arab stands, falafel from the stands, and they all hang around a very vibrant public square called Zion Square or Zion Square. And mm-hmm. in that square, people are eating takeout food, women with handmade puppets, Bolivian pipe players, they're everywhere in the world. Then you see old men playing violin, they look like Fiddler on the Roof, and religious rock bands.
Have you been by the Wailing Wall at all?
Yes, when you go on that underground tunnel tour, you're actually following the Wailing Wall. Very, very profound sight. And, you know, even the accommodation there is clear that you're in what people call the holy city, you know. I stayed at the Olive Tree Hotel, which is just open, 3 months old, and it's a Bible-themed hotel.
Okay.
This is in right near East Jerusalem, and I heard it's co-owned by Arabs and Jews, and the legend is it stands on the site of an old inn where pilgrims stopped. And when you walk in, you see broken columns, pseudo-broken columns of this hotel, and sand-colored stone of the walls, and inside the arches are stone, and the windows are look very ancient, like the old city, and they have antique harps on the walls, and the concession to modern is a glass ceiling that lets in all the light. So that hotel has, in a sense, recreated the history. On the other hand, I stayed in at the Hilton Hotel, which everybody knows is quite stunning. And this hotel is built almost like a theater, an opera, opening onto the old city. So every room...
Wow.
has a view of those fortress-like walls that I described. And so Hilton, it's really location, location, location. The hotel itself is limestone and beech wood and very, very beautiful and austere in a lovely, lovely way. Mm-hmm. And they offer Dead Sea, I want to say this is the best part, they have a spa where you can get a Dead Sea mud wrap, and you can't beat that. Now, that hotel has the probably the highest-priced room in the city, about $2,800 a night for that Rabin suite for dignitaries.
Right.
But for the rest of us folks, it is affordable for a special vacation. And the Jerusalem Hilton really is stunning, and you wake up in the morning, and you're looking out on the old city. Wow. Quite amazing.
Quickly, Judith, what about the shopping? Shopping area there.
Shopping is always in those wonderful little Arab markets. There's all kinds of water pipes and tiles and brasswork, a lot of Judaica religious objects, and of course Christian religious objects, and a lot of modern silver and gold craft. So if you can make it there, you know, I would suggest for our American listeners, you want to bypass all that traffic at JFK. You can go by Air Canada, which leaves every day to Tel Aviv, and you can catch that in Toronto. It's kind of a one-stop to Tel Aviv for Americans. And the mark of a good airline for me is, can I sleep on those long trips? And I have to say, I slept 8 hours on the way out and 8 hours on the way back. Just woke up for great food.
That's hard to do on an airplane. Did they have any special seats, or was it just comfortable flight?
I tried both. I tried the economy class, and I had enough room. I was knocked out. And in business class, I bypassed those great canopies and hors d'oeuvres and things they were passing around, and got a fabulous sleep. And the people on the plane on the way out and on the way back were so interesting, really representing all the kinds of groups of pilgrims and high-tech people and religious people all headed to Israel. Very, very interesting flight.
Yeah, but you're a professional reporter, Judith. Something tells me that anybody around you will be a very interesting individual. Yeah,
thank you.
Draw that out in people.
Thank you so much.
Well,
I hope you. I hope our listeners get a chance. I waited very long before I went to Jerusalem. As you know, I've been in many other parts of the world for my work, but Jerusalem is a magical place, really.
Wow. Judith, listen, it was a real pleasure having you on the show. That's our end title theme that's playing. And we'd love to have you on again. Next time you go someplace interesting or have some anecdotes to tell us, come to Travel World anytime.
Thank you. You know my love of Asia, and I'm hoping to be off to Taipei or Shanghai soon, and so we'll be talking again.
Fantastic, Judith.
Thank
Thanks for joining
so
us.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that takes care of another week here on Travel World. The hour seems to just fly by. Take care, everybody. For Stephen Pickford in West Palm Beach, Jupiter, I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Ara Moskovic. Have a good week.
Catch us next week. Travel World is produced in Montreal by the NASCAR Marketing Company.